Exodus chapter 36. Bezaleel, Aholiab, and all the other craftsmen, to whom the Lord had given skill and understanding, who knew how to make everything needed to build the tabernacle, are to make everything just as God has commanded. So Moses called Bezaleel, Aholiab, and the other wise-hearted men, to whom the Lord had given wisdom, and who were willing-hearted, and Moses told them to start the work. So you see, they were wise, and God gave them the gift of wisdom. So God will confirm us by his Spirit in the attitude that we wish to have. If you want to be wise and you love wisdom, then God will make you wise. They received from him all the offerings which the Israelites had brought for the tabernacle. The people of Israel kept on bringing Moses their presents every morning. The wise-hearted men who were doing the work told Moses this. They said, "The people are bringing more than is required for the work which God has commanded us to be done." So Moses sent a message throughout the camp that nobody was to bring any more donations for the tabernacle. Now Israel at this time were worshipping idols. They carried another tabernacle through the wilderness, the tabernacle of Moloch, and they carried the star of their god Remphan. They took the idols of Egypt with them through the Red Sea, Ezekiel 20 says. And yet, when there was an appeal for basically money or wealth, donations, they did really well. They gave more than was needed. So just being generous is not of itself an indication of anything very much at all, because that is not the same as truly loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And I wondered if the people were generous because they thought they could kind of buy their way into God's kingdom despite worshipping idols. And of course, you can't do that. So the wise-hearted men, those who were doing the work, made the tabernacle of God's presence. They made it out of the pieces of fine linen woven with blue, purple, red wool, embroidered with the figures of the cherubim. Each piece had the same size. It was 12 meters long and about 2 meters wide. Five of them were sewn together in one set, and they did that with the other five. They made loops of blue cloth on the edge of the outside, and they put 50 loops on the first piece of the first set and 50 matching loops on the last piece of the second set. They made 50 gold hooks with which to join the two sets into one. Now, all the time you're reading this record of the tabernacle, there's a lot of emphasis on things like hooks and loops and how they all matched up and were all joined together. And this all looks forward to us as the body of Christ, because we are the tabernacle. God now doesn't have any kind of tent or building where he lives. He lives in the community of believers. And we are to all be joined together to each other. And that's why it will later say, "And so there was one tabernacle." Then they made a cover for the tent of meeting. So there were, in fact, two tents. There was this tent that had the holy place and the most holy place in it. And then over that, there was another one. And if you look at the height of that tent, for somebody who was completely outside of the courts of the tabernacle, outside the kind of fence that was all around it, they could still see it, because it was high enough for them to see. So it's rather like people can look in, as it were, when they're not even believers. They can look in and they can see, yep, that is where the presence of God is. But then they have to want to come forward, to bow their heads, to go through the gate that was in the courts. Humility is the first thing. Then they came to the altar of burnt offering, sacrifice. And then they came to the laver, or the big basin, which is like baptism. And then after that, there was the holy place, with the candlestick, that's like church life, the table of showbread, like the breaking of bread, the incense altar, which is like prayer. And then after that, the most holy place, where there was the ark, and the cherubim upon the ark, and the glory and presence of God in between the wings of the cherubim. And so that is our path, if you like, towards the kingdom of God, towards finally seeing God's face. God said, I will meet with them between the cherubim over the Ark of the Covenant. But in reality, under the system of Moses, only the high priest went in once a year to throw some blood on the lid of the Ark that was called the mercy seat, and then he left. Just once a year, and there were no windows that they could look through. There was no natural light at all in the tabernacle. It was all closed in. And so, when God says, So when God says, I will meet with my people between the ark, well, what did he mean? Because they didn't actually get anywhere near it. And I suggest we read that as meaning, I will meet with them one day. One day it'll all be opened and they'll be able to see it. And that happened when Jesus died on the cross and the veil that sort of veiled off the, or screened off the most holy place was torn down from the top to the bottom like God had torn it. And as Paul comments in Hebrews, the way into the most holy place was then open for everybody. And this is the wonder of our position, that we can come and actually meet with God himself. And in the end, this all finishes, as it says at the end of the book of Revelation, that we will actually see God, that we will meet God. And this is the great hope that we have.